We're speaking now with Dr. David Bond, a professor at Bennington College in Vermont and lead author of the study that found perfluorinated compounds in the soil and water near the Norlite facility in Cohoes. Thank you for joining us again, Dr. Bond.
Thank you so much for having me.
I was wondering if you could just respond to the DEC statement that was released after the study came out. They said a couple of things. I guess I'll start with the background levels. One thing the DEC statement said was that the results that you found were consistent with background levels of these perfluorinated compounds in urban areas. Can you give us some context about that?
Yes. So on Monday afternoon, we released some preliminary findings from our study that found concerning levels of perfluorinated compounds in the soil and water in neighborhoods around the Norlite incinerator in Cohoes, New York. A few hours later, New York State DEC rejected the significance of our findings and refused our call for additional research. DEC said the levels that we detected were, I think, consistent with low background levels and directed attention to a 2019 UVM study of background PFAS levels in soil. And based on this, DEC concluded that there was no basis to conduct additional sampling. There was no need for further research. The case was closed. DEC's knee-jerk reaction is not only dismissive of residents' long-standing and legitimate concerns about Norlite emissions, it's also incorrect on two fronts. The first front is that it's the pattern of PFAS contamination that we detected around Norlite that is most concerning. The pattern of PFAS contamination strongly resembles known sites of AFFF contamination, which gives strong indication that the incineration of AFFF is not breaking down these toxic chemicals, but rather raining them down on the neighborhoods that surround the Norlite incinerator. So on that front, DEC's knee-jerk reaction is incorrect. The other front is that if you look at the study that they directed attention to, the 2019 UVM study, the levels of PFAS compounds that are associated with AFFF that we detected are exceed the background levels as determined by that UVM study. For example, PFOS, the levels that we detected PFOS around the Norlite facility is twice as high as the median value that 2019 UVM study determined was a background level. PFNA is even higher around Norlite. It's in the sort of what's considered the 95th percentile, an outlier in the levels around Norlite than it is in that study.
Can I ask just about the methodology of scientific studies? A major, you need peer-reviewed evidence and the ability to replicate studies. Is directing, you know, is citing one study as evidence that low background levels, it's consistent with background levels, is that something that's established in the scientific literature?
No. I mean, right now, background levels is a huge question. And there are folks all across the U.S. really trying to focus in on this question of what are background levels? I mean, these synthetic chemicals were first engineered, conjured up in a lab in the 40s. Now they're ubiquitous. I mean, they've only been around for, you know, the last 75 years or so, and they were used primarily in plastics manufacturing, nonstick cookware, and firefighting foam. And yet, after 75 years of use, they're found everywhere on Earth we think to look for them. I mean, they're in penguins, they're in polar bears, they're in rain, they're in snow, they're in soil, they're in mountains, they're in the ocean. Everywhere we've thought to look for these compounds, we find them, shocking and alarming in and of itself, that a synthetic chemical that was first engineered in the 40s is now everywhere. The question now is, what exactly are background levels? Like, what is the kind of ubiquitousness of them? And that level will dictate how people begin to investigate local sources of these compounds. And it's not a settled science yet. It's a key key, a leading research question right now that folks are really trying to focus in on and come to some sort of conclusions on.
So another thing that the DEC statement indicated was that your results were below the upper tolerance levels for these substances in the environment. Could you respond to that?
So the study they directed attention to was the 2019 UVM study. And the UVM study was trying to determine background levels for a host of perfluorinated compounds in our region. The median values that study found, if you compare our findings to that study, the perfluorinated compounds that are most strongly associated with AFFF, the key ingredients of AFFF and the key breakdown products of incomplete incineration of AFFF are the ones that we found in the highest levels around norlite. Those levels that we detected around norlite of those compounds exceed that UVM study, the median values assigned by that UVM study.
So in our earlier conversation with you at the press conference on Monday, you explained that there are hundreds of perfluorinated compounds. We can only test for a small number of them, but that the ones that you found in the soil and water near norlite strongly resemble the chemical profile of the firefighting foam. And the other thing that the study indicated was that the contamination was twice as high downwind of the facility as it is upwind. Do you think that is consistent with background levels of perfluorinated compounds?
No, I don't. I think that's consistent with airborne emissions. You're absolutely right. PFAS, is the family of compounds, and there's over 2,500 different compounds in that family. AFFF, the firefighting foam, it consists of about 250 of those compounds. We only know how to test for 50 of those individually. So there's already, our analytic methods are already far behind the curve of what we need to know to sort of really confront this problem head on. That said, with what we're able to measure and to understand, the indications are clear. The levels at the site and downwind are twice the levels upwind. These all, as I said, from beginning to end, this was a preliminary study. We went out and took a handful of samples to see if the findings warranted more attention. And what we found in that early look was alarming enough that we really wanted to release those findings, bring attention to this issue, and call for more research, a more comprehensive survey of the soil and water around norlite and in the densely populated areas downwind of norlite to begin to see what the levels of PFAS compounds are in those neighborhoods.
What would you recommend that the DEC take as the first step towards that more comprehensive research that you just mentioned?
I think the first step for DEC is to acknowledge that residents at the Saratoga public housing unit in the shadow of the norlite incinerator have legitimate questions and that those questions can and should be answered. And it's DEC's responsibility to begin to answer residents' concerns with scientific facts, with research. And that would sort of begin by surveying the soil and water in densely populated areas downwind of norlite.
We've been speaking with Dr. David Bond of Bennington College and lead author of the study, which just was released last Monday. Dr. Bond, is there anything else that you'd like to add in response to the DEC statement?
No, I just want to congratulate the town of Cohoes, which just voted to ban the burning of AFFF for 1 year. It's a great first step to begin to face up to the challenges of perfluorinated compounds in our region. And now the debate moves on to the Senate that's considering a statewide ban.